Log on to www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. ronpaulfreedommessage.com. The revolution is being broadcast live. Now, they said, once upon a time, Gil Scott Heron, famous line, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. Well, as a matter of fact, the revolution is being televised. Probably not Gil Scott Heron's revolution, but it's a revolution nonetheless. The Ron Paul Revolution. And it is being broadcast live on www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. So go to that webpage, log on, and you'll see the player right there in the middle of the page. It should start automatically. If you're going to be watching the show, then I recommend that you turn off your audio player and turn on the video player. And right now, I'm going to go ahead and switch from the splash screen to video live. And here I am. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Stephen Vincent, and welcome to this first live video cast of The Freedom Message. And what we have for you today is a series of video clips from Ron Paul in New Hampshire, opening his New Hampshire campaign office and filing officially to be on the New Hampshire state ballot. So I'm going to go ahead and play those clips for you right now. And again, this is experimental, so don't know how well it's going to work, but let's go ahead and have a look and a listen to Ron Paul in Concord, New Hampshire. So if you're listening in on the player, you'll be able to hear me. If you're listening in on the audio player, you'll be able to hear me commenting. Right now we're watching Ron Paul walk into a room in New Hampshire. There are press around. He's being greeted.
Ready to do it? I think so. Has to not use doctor handwriting.
So he's signing some official documents, which apparently are officially putting him on the ballot in New Hampshire.
And we've, over the years, asked the candidates if they wish. Slogan or something that what it feels like actually filing the paper that you need to file.
So you may have heard, in fact, Ron Paul's poll numbers have boosted to 7.5% in New Hampshire recently.
Now, if you'd like to...
Those are the official poll numbers.
Here for the primary in a very important state, so it makes me feel humble.
What do you think about the Republican Party leaders threatening to take away delegates from New Hampshire and four other states for not sticking to their early rules for the primary game?
I think they should stay out of it. New Hampshire should get to do what they want to do.
You're raising more money than
Well, they would like to deny that we really exist or are making inroads, so they would like to ignore us. At the very beginning, they wanted to exclude us from the debates and a few things like that. And sometimes we don't get nearly as many tickets to go to the debates as the other candidates get. But the internet is a way that you can organize and you can compete, and you might not, you know, get the same attention in the other areas that you can make up for. And I think our internet, which they tried to write that off to and say, well, the internet didn't matter. It's just a few people that are out there agitating. But the numbers are there, the meetup groups are there, the volunteers are there, and the money is there. Of course, the most exciting thing about all that is because I challenge them on foreign policy and I talk about the old right and the Constitution and the Founding Fathers' foreign policy, and they still want to belittle that founding that foreign policy, lo and behold, guess who gets the most money from the military? It's our campaign, and it's more than any single candidate on the Democratic side or the Republican side, which goes to show that minding our own business, whether it's personal liberty, minding our own business when it comes to spending your own tax money, or minding our own business around the world, very, very popular ideas.
Okay, sorry about that. All right. So there was Ron Paul in New Hampshire. I like the confidence that he's bringing to his public statements lately. I like how he commented that, well, the money is there, really pointing up the fact that there's financial strength to this campaign. And we're looking at probably closing out this month with $3 million in a single month. $3 million in a single month, which would take us to about $9 million by the end of the year. Not at all bad. A little bit shy of the $12 million goal that has been set, but there are, in fact, some plans in the works to bring those numbers up. What comes to mind is the November 5th Ron Paul money bomb, I suppose, is what it's being referred to. I want to comment on that. I wholeheartedly support the notion of everyone donating $100 on a single day. I just simply questioned the wisdom of the date that was picked. And I question the wisdom of the imagery that is being used. Somehow they decided on November 5th because that is the day that Guy Fawkes, the man who attempted to blow up the British Parliament in 1700 and some odd, that was the day he was apparently executed for his attempted murder of the British Parliament. And this is referred to in the movie V. And I really question the wisdom of choosing that date, a date associated with a terrorist attempt, a date associated with a figure in a movie that basically is a terrorist and blows things up, however well motivated. I don't know that we ought to be associated with such tactics. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I do support the idea of donating $100 and getting 100,000 people to donate $100 to Ron Paul all in a single day. Great idea. Right now, pledges are at about $1 million. $1 million, if people follow through and actually do that, $1 million in a single day. I think, based on what we're seeing, probably we're looking at $2 to $3 million donated as a result of that effort on a single day. And I will be donating. I did sign the pledge. I recommend that everyone else do so. I also recommend that the next time we do this, choose a better day. And wouldn't the 30th of October or 31st of October have been a better day? We were trying to make a big goal of $4 million in the month of October, and we're coming up a little short, and it would have helped a lot if it had come in before the end of the month rather than at the beginning of November. So a little bit of questionable judgment here, but what the heck? People are doing things. They're making it happen. So everybody donate November 5th, $100 to the Ron Paul campaign. And let's use better judgment next time. So let's go ahead to the next Ron Paul clip in New Hampshire. I'm going to cue that up for you. And here we go.
before the neoconservatives took over. Neoconservatives came from the liberal Democrat side. And the neoconservatives really aren't very conservative because they believe in the entitlement system. They believe in the military state and the promoting America's interests through force. Where the old right was part of what the old Robert Taft party was, and they were for the founding fathers' principle of non-entangling alliances. Matter of fact, most elections are won by at least paying homage to those ideas, because even in the year 2000, the foreign policy that President Bush talked about was really appealing to these sentiments. You know, a humble foreign policy, no nation building, don't be a policeman of the world. And the difference here is everybody knows I believe it, that I would do it, because I have never voted for this military intervention. And it's not strange or new to the Republican Party or to America. Americans generally have always voted for the person that was trying to stay out of it. The old right had this grand tradition, and that was very much held together for many years by the Republican Party, and I'm challenging the party principle on this, that we shouldn't act like the others have over the years that led us into wars like Korea and Vietnam, and here we as Republicans for the first time, you know, have drifted into this war by not remembering the old traditions of the traditions of the old right.
What's your response to those who say it's about national security? They're arguing that we need to stay tough around the world to protect people here in the United States. How do you respond to
that? Well, I think that's the opposite. We'll get weaker. I mean, we have more enemies than ever before. We have fewer friends. Our military capabilities are greatly diminished, you know, because the equipment's in bad shape. The military is very unhappy, and that's why I think I'm getting support from the military. It's because we have a de facto draft. If we really got into a hot war, we're really not all that well prepared. And we're weakened because of what it does to us financially. Great empires don't end because you get invaded and taken over. They end because they destroy the money. They spend so much money, it becomes such a great burden that the people at home lose lose their prosperity. And that's what we're in the midst of. We're in the midst of a dollar crisis. We can't even help the people who are dependent on government because of this endless expenditures overseas. And the issue that I've made so many times is that we are more endangered by this policy rather than less so, because if you understand the incentives behind those who would like to come here and kill us, comes from the fact that we occupy their countries. We would do the same thing. We should look at the logic of it. How would we react? All Democrats and Republicans and independents would be together. If we had the Chinese on our soil and they were building permanent bases, believe me, we would be unified. So that is logical. And to deny that is just foolhardy. To think that we are in great danger because we are free and prosperous just is so misleading, and it's leading down a path of disaster and of great weakness to us. Militarily.
What do you mean when you say you have so much support from the military?
Because of the funding. You know, we get more money from the military than anybody else.
Your campaign?
Yeah. I mean, it both first and second quarter, somebody went and figured this out. We didn't even do it as a campaign, but somebody did it statistically and found out that I got more money. I think Obama might have the second amount as much money, but I get more money than all the other Republicans. One time, it was being close to all the other ones put together. In the second quarter, it came out. It's not. But it's overwhelmingly so that we get more donations from the military and retired personnel.
Given how unpopular the war is, what are you doing to get independents to vote in your race? Since right now they all appear to be leading Democratic in the future.
Well, of course, that's the challenge of the campaign, and that's why we're starting to spend a lot of that money we've been saving. I mean, we've raised a lot of money and have more money in the bank than most of the candidates. Some candidates can, have money in the bank and can put their own money in. But we're in good shape, and we're going to we're going to campaign like we're supposed to and get that message out, because I think our message is very appealing to independents. I think that's why this is a great state to be campaigning in. And that's why they would, certainly a lot of people in the establishment would like to make sure if something else could come up to sort of not give our campaign a chance where we can appeal to independents. That's the great part of the system here, is that you allow an independent spirit, independent spirit, where you can go back and forth and keep both parties on their toes. And that's a tremendous advantage for us. And that's why they would like to put you down on the list and make sure that grassroots candidates are no longer able to get a foothold, and they'd like to make it so that you have to be very, very wealthy independently, or very wealthy because you appeal to the special interests, the military-industrial complex, or the financial interests, people who won't challenge the tax system or the monetary system or the foreign policy.
Why are you the candidate for young voters in America?
Because the young people have figured it out. Have figured it out that they're inheriting a mess, and that financially it's not viable. They know that paying the Social Security for the next 60 years or 50 years makes no sense whatsoever, and yet they are going to be paying all these bills. They know that the war is a great burden. They know that the Selective Service still is there, the war is liable to spread, and that they may be drafted. And this time women may well be drafted, and they're fearful of it. And young people are more idealistic. They haven't had their minds, conditioned where you have to only go to Washington and have a good lobbyist if you want to get ahead. They're idealistic enough to believe in freedom, and they like the idea of being left alone. They like the idea that I won't regulate the internet or tax the internet. And I have been so impressed on young people coming to me, and when I ask them, why are you interested, so often I say, I just love your position on the Constitution. That really makes me feel good, that they believe in the rule of law. I never have a businessman that comes from Washington, and they come and they discuss things and say, Ron, I really love you because you defend the Constitution. They want to bend the Constitution to make sure that they can get a tax bill passed to their advantage. So I think it's just great that the young people are responding in this manner. I was very, very reluctant to do this, even though I've worked in this direction of moving this cause of liberty along as fast and as quickly as I could. I just didn't think the country was ready. I thought the response would be very modest. I didn't think there were enough people in the remnant of the true believers that didn't depend on government, that believed in the American ideal of freedom and personal responsibility in the marketplace and sound money. And yet that number was much greater. There were a lot of people out there that had been sitting around, that had dropped out, just gave up because they just hear the same stuff over and over again. So that number was much greater than I ever dreamed. And the other thing was the response of the young people who may not be, they're new to the cause, but they hear the message and they say, you know, this is great, and this is a time and opportunity, this is what I believe in. So those two things have been a pleasant surprise for me, and actually has been the campaign. We haven't been a top-down organization at all. We didn't have huge sums of money. We didn't go out and recruit people. I mean, ordinarily, to get 1,000 small groups of people throughout the country to organize and campaign for you, you'd have to have an organization, you'd have to have charts. We didn't have any of it. But we have over 1,000 meetup groups. They're just growing. Every day there are new meetup groups. So it is a powerful message, and it must be ripe. The country must be ripe for it. And people are concerned about the peace, their personal liberties, the war, economic liberties. I think these are all coming to a head, and the American people are responding very favorably.
Can I just say anything about the Red Sox?
The Red Sox? No, I'm neutral and all that. I'm non-committal.
Oops. Okay, here we are. I am back with you, and Hope you're having a enjoyable listening and viewing experience of this first ever videocast of the Freedom Message. We're in the process of, kind of figuring this new software out and making it all happen. This is all experimental and fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants internet journalism happening. The revolution in technology and the revolution politically being televised to you live now, and I'm pleased to bring it to you. I want to continue on the theme that I brought up yesterday, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Act, which passed a couple of days ago in the House of Representatives. And I've done a little research on that since then. I was quite surprised that such a bill was able to get through Congress and sort of slipped under my radar. And as you know, I'm making it my business on a daily basis to know what's going on politically in this country with regards to the Ron Paul Revolution, all matters of constitutionality of government and the like. And of course, I was completely aware of Congressman Paul's introduction of the American Freedom Agenda Act, and I've covered that for you extensively. To find that such a bill, such as the Homegrown Terrorism and Violent Radicalization Act, would slip under my radar, raised some suspicions, and in fact, it has been very quietly introduced and shepherded through Congress. It started in July. The Committee on Homeland Security's Subcommittee on Intelligence, Information Sharing, and Terrorism Risk Assessment, how's that for a name, unanimously passed the H.R. 1955, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007, on July 18th, 2007, not that long ago, but did not hit the news at all. Quite interesting that it did not hit the news at all. This bill was introduced by Congresswoman Jane Harman, a Democrat of California. Congresswoman Jane Harman of California. If you happen to be one of Congresswoman Harman's constituents, I would like to speak with you. I think that Ms. Harman needs to be sent a message, the Freedom Message. And she needs to get it soon, because this bill is a complete abomination, and it is, in fact, a betrayal of her oath of office to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The bill on its face is a flagrant violation of the First Amendment, and it, in fact, creates an entire new category of crime, the thought crime. The message of Congress to the American people with this bill is this: don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Literally. If you think violent thoughts towards your government, you are now a thought criminal. You are now a criminal, a terrorist. Doesn't matter how you've acted. Actions don't matter anymore. It's the quality of your thought. Watch what you're thinking. Watch, because they're watching you. Congresswoman Jane Harman, and also this bill has been brought forth by Dave Reichert of the 8th Congressional District of Washington. If you are a constituent of Mr. Reichert in Washington, I think that you have a duty to the Constitution, to the country, to pay Mr. Reichert a visit. And I mean physically, go to his office, his place of business, his home, and let him know that this is completely unacceptable. In other words, we have the right in this country to petition for a redress of our grievances. And this is a grievance, an extreme grievance. Please begin to petition immediately. Ms. Jane Harman, Mr. Dave Reichert, Mr. Benny G. Thompson, another Democrat of Mississippi, who is in fact the chair of this committee that created this abomination. Benny G. Thompson, a Democrat of Mississippi, needs to hear from you. Charlie Dent of Pennsylvania, 15th Congressional District, needs to hear from you. That is, if you care about the Constitution and freedom. You need to let these people know that this is completely unacceptable. Now, they kept it under wraps long enough to sneak it through the House, but the word's out now. And if it's not out far and wide enough, I'm going to do everything I can, with your help and assistance, to make sure that more people know, anyone that needs to know, everyone that needs to know about this, and needs to take action. Let's hear some quotes from these beautiful, wonderful, patriotic Americans on this piece of freedom legislation, this legislation that truly makes us more free and more safe. You know, it's all about the safety, of course, you know. Chair Harman released the following statement on the bill. While violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism were abstract ideas as recently as 6 months ago, today's publicly released national intelligence estimate makes clear that the radical and violent segment of the West's Muslim population is expanding, including in the United States. You know, you can say things all you want, but if there's absolutely no evidence for that, which there isn't, your statements are pretty much vacant, null, and void. Just simply declaring that the radical and violent segment of the West's Muslim population is expanding, including in the United States. Just say so. Because you're an official and you have access to the media and, you know, people are going to just go along with whatever you say. Because you're in office and you've got the power. The subcommittee's hearing record supports the need to understand how radicals turn to violence if we are to prevent the kind of homegrown terrorist attacks we've seen elsewhere. This bill, which was unanimously reported today, establishes a multidisciplinary commission that will shape congressional action going forward. So here we have, before any acts of homegrown terrorism have happened, outside of what, Timothy McVeigh going way back to, what was that, 1994 or something like that? None. Zero. There haven't been any. There have been a few cases largely concocted cases, basically insane people babbling about some kind of vague plan without any means whatsoever to carry out any kind of plan, without any actual means. In many of these cases, abetted by the FBI, egged on by FBI plants and informants. This is all we have. Nothing has actually happened, yet it rises to the level of establishing a commission and passing a bill that creates an entire new field of thought crime. Don't even think about it. Okay, Ranking Member Reichert said the following: given the recent pattern of terrorist activity that has been discovered in the UK, Canada, and the United States, the issue of homegrown terrorism has critical implications for the security of our nation. Given the recent pattern of terrorist activity, there's a pattern? There is no pattern. It's random stupidity. Egged on, again, by FBI in every single case. They have an informant in place, and they're basically begging groups of mentally backward people, you know, basically subnormal intelligence, to please, please do something terrorist, or to please talk about doing something terrorist so we can get you on tape and bust you and then create a media affair out of it. It's exactly what's happened time and time and time again. All of these incidents in Miami, in New Jersey, all of them, there was nothing happening. They had no means of actually carrying out any kind of attack. It was mere idiots babbling, and in many cases, prodded on by the officials. Why? Oh, well, I would just pretty much guess that they had this bill in mind, and they needed an excuse to put it in the pipeline. And that's exactly what's happened. Now it's in the pipeline. It was passed 404-6. 404-6. Every single member of the House that voted for this needs to be targeted and taken out of office. They need to be replaced by you and me, and especially the people that sponsored this bill. If you allow Jane Harmon to be reelected after putting this completely unconstitutional garbage into the pipeline and ramming it down the throats of the American people, then you get the government that you deserve. If you live in Congresswoman Harmon's district and you're not immediately taking action to get her removed, I mean impeached. Let's go for impeachment on these people, because they are violating the Constitution of the United States by enacting legislation which strips you of your most basic and fundamental rights of free speech and free thought, for God's sake. Identifying the Pence as Ranking Member Reichert again. Identifying the patterns of radicalization where they exist and isolating the contributing factors can help us mitigate problems before they begin. And that's what this legislation does. Patterns of radicalization. You know, you can just say pretty much anything. And if you happen to be in a position of power and authority, if you happen to have an office where you can put a nice fancy seal on a document, you know, and, you know, get press coverage and have pundits on television shows positively reinforce the notions that you're promoting. Doesn't have to be true. You just have to say it. That's all. And that's exactly what they're doing here. They're just making stuff up. They're pulling it straight out of the sky. And it's a bunch of bull. Okay? Patterns of radicalization. Where are these patterns of radicalization? If they exist, why aren't we hearing about it right here? Where's this? Show me a pattern of radicalization. There are none. There are no radicalized Americans. There are no homegrown terrorists, and there is no threat thereof. Does not exist. Now, I want to get into an argument with somebody about that. And matter of fact, I want to get an argument with Jane Harmon and Dave Reichert and this Thompson character. I want to talk to them. I want to say, show me the terrorism. I want to say, show me the homegrown terrorism and the radicalization. Because you can't. It doesn't exist. Okay, continuing on with this drivel from Mr. Reichert. Specifically, it creates a commission much like the 9/11 commission with the benefit of being proactive rather than reactive. Proactive rather than reactive. In other words, this is like that movie, the Tom Cruise movie, where you got to go back in time to prevent a crime because somebody was thinking about doing a crime. So, oh no, wait a minute, you go forward in time? Is that how it works? Anyway, they were thinking about doing a crime, right? And this gets picked up. And now you're going to go prevent the crime. So since people are now thinking about doing something radical, apparently, in their opinion, we have to be proactive rather than reactive, and we'll prevent these homegrown terrorist activities before they ever happen. Well, excuse me, how do you know they're going to happen if they never happen, but you think you prevented them, but they never happened? It doesn't really make any sense, does it? And what was wrong with the existing structure of legal methods that we have established already to deal with this? I think that Mr. Bruce Fine, who was on my show a few days ago, made this point that there's nothing wrong with the existing jurisprudence. It's for many years done very well handling any situation of this nature. There is no reason why we need a whole new superstructure, a whole new legal BS to deal with this. And especially considering there's nothing to actually deal with. Except maybe they're just kind of getting a little bit nervous that there's a population that's kind of starting to see through them. It's kind of starting to get it. It's kind of starting to get that the gang in Washington is a bunch of criminals, you know. And maybe they're a little bit nervous that that people are starting to wake up and stand up and take action, you know, legal, peaceful, normal political action, like trying to get somebody elected to office on many different levels, like President of the United States, like Congress. Like maybe somebody might just come along and take their seat in Congress legally, you know, through democratic process established by the Constitution. Maybe they're getting a little nervous about that. Maybe that's why they felt like they had to come up with this. Oh my God. The commission will examine and report upon the facts and causes of radicalization inside our own border. Again, statement after statement, facts and causes of radicalization. Where is it? Show me the radicalization. There isn't any. Non-existent. They're simply making blanket statements and expecting that you are going to accept it as fact. Why? Because they've got fancy offices and legal titles and access to the media. And that's about it. You know, they could say that the moon is made out of Swiss cheese, and we've just discovered that, and now we need $60 trillion to go and mine the Swiss cheese from the moon and simply declare it to be so, and sadly, a lot of people would probably believe it. We held hearings across the country, and the recent attacks reinforced the need for this legislation. What recent attacks? You mean those petty, like, vague attempts by half-sane and completely insane people that were cobbled together in groups by the FBI and other law enforcement officials? You mean those attacks that never happened? Is that what you're talking about? Because, Mr. Reichert, there haven't been any. I'm pleased to work with Chairman Harmon side by side in crafting this important bipartisan bill. Oh, it's bipartisan, all right. Seems to have more Democrats involved in it than Republicans. The highest priority for Homeland Security must focus on preventing terrorist attacks to save lives. Oh, yes. Yes, Mr. Reichert. You're so right. I'm so afraid of a terrorist attack, and you know, Al-Qaeda's really scary, but also, you never know, it could be my neighbor. He's a little bit weird, and maybe he might blow something up. Oh, I'm just so worried. Maybe I should call the police and inform on him, because, you know, I think I saw a wire coming out of his car, and you know, he said he didn't like George Bush, so, you know. The highest priority for Homeland Security must focus on preventing terrorist attacks to save lives. The underlying assumption here is that you, me, everybody out there is so afraid of the future. Is so afraid. The security thing. The security. Be secure. Be safe. I want to be safe. I want to be secure. I hope no one ever hurts me. And maybe the government will protect me and keep me safe and sound, and nothing ever bad will happen. This is what it comes down to. This is the attitude that they assume that you have. And that's what they're playing off of. Are you afraid? I mean, they told you right after 9/11, you are afraid. Everything is different now. Americans are afraid. I'm not afraid. Are you afraid? I'm not really particularly afraid. You know what I'm afraid of? Afraid of the idiots who drafted this piece of garbage and are trying to ram it down our throats and take away all of our freedoms on the justification of a terrorism which doesn't even exist. That's what I'm afraid of. Congressman Thompson. Let's read his statement. Well, many in government would have you believe that profiling a particular race, ethnicity, or religion will lead to greater security. I beg to differ. Well, let's let you know that Congressman Thompson is an African-American. So he needs to, you know, kind of put out this liberal line here about how, racial profiling is bad, so everyone agrees with that. We shouldn't racially profile the Arabs. Of course not. That would be just really terrible to racially profile. Yeah, of course, it's not a good idea to discriminate. But let's assume that there were actual terrorists and that they hadn't tended to be Muslims, and Muslims tend to, you know, be of a certain race. I mean, how the heck else are you going to figure out who the terrorists are if they actually existed, which they don't? You'd kind of have to start with, you know, the fact that they're Arab. So, but that aside, that's kind of an aside issue. I beg to differ. Quite simply, you cannot profile hate, and those that wish to do us harm are not constrained by borders, race, or Al-Qaeda affiliation. We don't know how many would-be terrorists are living right next door. Now, he actually said that. We don't know how many would-be terrorists are living right next door. Oh, the homegrown threat of violent radicalization is real. Just say so. You know, just say it. And it's a fact, because he is Congressman Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, Chairman of the full committee on Homeland Security's committee on intelligence, information sharing, and terrorism risk. He said so, and a guy with a title like that, well, golly gee, it's gotta be true. The homegrown threat of violent radicalization is real. The sooner we learn all that we can about the extent and capability of this threat. Extent and cape. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They could do it any time. Oh, God, government, take me, please. Please, keep me safe. Keep me safe, Dad. Oh, God. Really, I mean, this is really what... I know I'm being a goof here, okay? I understand that. You know, but how can you not be a goof about a bunch of goofy bullshit? Excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, come on. This is... If it wasn't so damn serious, it would be laughable. Okay? Where was I? The extent and capability of this threat. The sooner we can move forward to a safer America. The sooner we can move forward to a safer America. I don't feel particularly unsafe at this moment. I mean, are you unsafe? You know who I feel unsafe from? I feel unsafe from Congressman Thompson. That's who I feel unsafe from. What does it say? Protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So I think the domestic enemies are Congressman Harmon, Congresswoman Harmon, Congressman Reichert, and Congressman Thompson, and all the others who sponsored and voted for this legislation. Those are, in fact, enemies of the Constitution of the United States, enemies of the people of the United States. They should be actually impeached, arrested, thrown in jail. Because they're already, by virtue of this piece of legislation, in complete contravention and violation of the United States, of America, our traditions, and our Constitution. So it's prima facie, right on the surface of it. You don't need anything else. Oh, my God, help me, please. The National Commission created by the Violent National Commission. We now have a National Commission. Created by the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007 will bring us closer to the answers we need. And I commend Representatives Harmon and Reichert for this show of bipartisan support and leadership on this issue. Well, my friends, you shall be hearing more on this subject, more on this theme. Unfortunately, because it ain't going to go away. I mean, it's going to go to the Senate, and they're going to pass it, and it's going to go to George Bush's desk, and it's going to become law. And, you know, the message is clear. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about trying to stop us in any way, shape, or form. Because if you do, we're just going to say He's been violently radicalized. He's a threat of homegrown terrorism. Well, just say so. Just the way they can just say that you are a, what is the term? Enemy combatant. Yes. They'll declare you to be an enemy combatant. Oh, okay, well, let's not go with enemy combatant for this one. Let's use homegrown terrorist threat. Let's use violently radicalized. Yes, yes, James, he was violently radicalized on September 27th when he watched a video on the internet. Apparently, neighbors say that he watched a video about the war in Iraq and suddenly started making violent claims against the government and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Yes, he was violently radicalized. That's known. As a matter of fact, then once he was taken into custody, he was subjected to a series of psychological examinations, and the psychologist, state psychologist, determined that he had been violently radicalized. Yes, violent. Yes. Now he hasn't actually committed any acts of violence. He hasn't actually done anything, but it's known that he was thinking along those lines. Yeah. So, watch what you think. Be very careful. Maybe I'll go ahead and let this go for a little while and do another Ron Paul clip for you. Sorry I went off on you. But stuff like this, you know, like the total trashing and destruction of freedom and constitutional government, of what we have left of freedom and constitutional government in the United States, kind of gets me going, you know. Apologize, I really do. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit more, something a little bit more uplifting and positive, a little bit more from Ron Paul in New Hampshire yesterday.
Into an actual voting meeting.
If you can't, you can't win elections. So you have to. And one of my favorite economists, Ludwig von Mises, wrote the great book, Human Action. And in that book, he said there was room for people to write theoretically about economics, but there was also room for people to take complicated or so-called theoretical issues of economics and translate them and make them palatable to the people so they accept it in their own self-interest. And I see my role as doing that, and that is taking the issue of sound money and translating it into something palatable. And in this campaign, the money issue is getting to be a bigger and bigger issue, and people are coming up and saying, you know, Ron, I never realized our money wasn't backed by anything. You know, and so when I go to college campuses now, the loudest applause, I guess, when I talk about monetary policy. So I believe I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, is translate the issue of monetary policy, this complex Federal Reserve system that nobody, even in Washington, knows or understands or cares about, yet it's vital because it deals with our dollar. But today, they're listening because all you have to do is listen to the morning news today. The dollar was once again down sharply, which is a devastating bit of news for every single American, because you can't improve your standard of living when the value of your money is going down precipitously.
What do you think of the arrest of Enron?
Pardon me?
What do you think of the arrest of Enron?
Well, I haven't paid enough attention to that to make much of a comment on that. That's a tax for people.
Yeah.
People who practice civil disobedience have to suffer consequences.
Sure.
And I'm a strong believer in practice of civil disobedience. I don't do it personally because, you know, I'd rather try to change the law than go to jail. But I just love what people like Lysander Spooner stood for, and Martin Luther King and Gandhi. You take a lot of risks, but I also believe in the nonviolence that they preach too. So, we have so many laws that are bad and unfair. Our drug laws are horribly unfair to inner city poor. You know how they end up in prisons, where if you're white and you're rich and you live outside the city, you never go to jail. I think people, those laws should be changed. And if you practice civil disobedience, whether it's a tax code, some do it on monetary issue, civil liberties. You have to know what the consequences are, but I just think that it should be done more non-violently. I don't know enough details to know where they stood on the issues that are real important to me.
Can
Could you comment some more on the dollar? Because some people say we need a weak dollar so we can sell goods overseas. How do you respond to that?
An absolute economic fallacy, which many university professors still teach. And they say, we're going to do better. The dollar is going down, so now we can export our products. Well, you know, if we make a product in this country, it's hardly any product that we make in manufacturing without importing some of the parts or some of the raw materials. So when the dollar goes down, all those things we import, the prices go up. And then quickly when that happens, when your dollar weakens, it only takes a month or two or three, the prices go up here. So it cancels out this effect. For a month or two, it might be advantageous, say, for the Canadians to come down here and spend some of their money. But that's just temporary. As they spend more money, labor costs are going to go up, and prices are going to go up. It's an absolute economic fallacy that they've talked a lot of people into believing. Just think about it. If you have a few dollars in your pocket, how could it be an advantage to you if you have a $100 bill in your pocket that next week it's worth $95? It is a vicious, evil tax. It's an immoral act. It's unconstitutional. And it's really very bad economics. And yet so many people, professors in colleges and politicians, say, all we have to do is have a weaker dollar and it's going to save all our problems, solve all our problems. Complete nonsense.
Are you supporting just hard money or the gold standard?
I'd like to support freedom of choice in it, because we know that all individuals throughout all of history, for 6,000 years of history, when you have a choice in money, you always pick hard money. We just go, and the two metals that have survived those 6,000 years have been gold and silver. I support the Constitution. The Constitution says no emitting of bills of credit, so no paper money, so our whole system is unconstitutional. It says only gold and silver can be legal tender. I believe that, but it's not legal anymore. So I would legalize the Constitution. I would allow people. I would. Yeah, that's a strange idea, isn't it? I would allow, but to allow it to compete with paper, you've got to get rid of sales taxes. If you go out and buy money, buy a gold coin, you've got to pay sales taxes. Or if the value of gold goes up, they say, you have to pay capital gains tax. So we have to just legalize competition and allow people to use it. But someday, the ultimate test will be to save the currency and save the economic system. You have to eliminate the power of a secretive central bank to create money out of thin air for the benefit of the special interests. Whether it's the military-industrial complex or the welfare system here at home, the politicians get away with almost anything because they just spend and take all the credit. Look what I'm giving you. I'm going to create jobs. We're going to sell more weapons and build all these things and fight this war. We don't have to tax you. And yet you are being taxed, and that is by them printing money. We have to stop the Federal Reserve's right to create money out of thin air to subsidize the politicians. This is a tax. It takes away the value of the money, and it doesn't take away the value of the money equally from everybody. Most of the time, it hits the poor and the middle class. In study, it's not difficult to find so many examples just in the last 100 years of how many times countries have destroyed their money, and there's an erosion of wealth from the middle class, and it's transferred to the wealthy. So you have a lot of billionaires on Wall Street today, and low-middle-income people, 70% believe they're either in a recession or going into a recession because they can't keep up. Although everybody has more money, but they don't have wealth. And the prosperity we have today is dependent on borrowing from foreigners. We owe $2.7 trillion to foreigners today. We can't even run the war without borrowing from the Red Chinese. And that is all coming to an end. The dollar is going down. And unless we get our house in order and start cutting back, and to me the only place we can really cut back politically is cutting back overseas expenditures. That's why I talk about foreign policy. Even though there's a lot of domestic policies, theoretically we shouldn't have. I don't attack them. I don't go after them. There's too many people dependent politically and in a practical way. You cut these hundreds of billions of dollars that we spend overseas, you get a stronger national defense for it, and you can take care of people who become dependent. If we don't do that, the dollar is going to continue to lose value, you're going to have a currency crisis, and there's going to be a lot of suffering in this country.
I'm afraid that's all the time.
Thank you.
Okay. So there we have Congressman Paul in New Hampshire, and I'm really pleased that I got a chance to play that clip where he focused on monetary policy and the Federal Reserve, because today the dollar is at an all-time, I don't know if it's, I guess it's pretty much an all-time low if you want to go back about 20 years. I think you have to go back that far for the dollar to be at this level. It may actually be an all-time low of some kind. And I talked about the different levels in the dollar index, the 80 level being the crucial support level, beyond which, if it fell, it would be in serious trouble of being dumped by our foreign creditors. That, in fact, did fall about a month and a half ago. And then I talked about the secondary support level of 78, the last gasp chance for a recovery in the value of the dollar. It did bounce very smartly off of the 78 level a few days ago in a single-day rally of over 1%, and then it has precipitously crashed from there down to a new low. It is the dollar's history. It is crashing, in effect, today, and it is past that, well below that 78 level. It is into uncharted territory. Gold is booming. Silver is booming. In other words, real money is booming. The dollar, fiat money, is crashing. So everything that Dr. Paul has spoken about and spoke about in that clip is transpiring right now. Is transpiring right now. Why is he not all over absolutely every financial news network show? Why is he not? You guess. Because he's being censored, and because they don't want to have people learn more about what he has to say about the Federal Reserve Bank, which is the core issue economically, politically, in terms of constitutionality of government. The fact that we do not have constitutionally valid monetary system and monetary policy, that we are unconstitutionally using fiat money, and that it is controlled by a private bank, the Federal Reserve Bank. This is what he is bringing up and what people are starting to understand and hear and get more and more and more. I think we remember in Michigan a few weeks ago, 2,500 people, many of them UMich students. When he mentioned the Federal Reserve Bank, they began chanting, gold, gold, gold. They held up dollar bills and lit them on fire. People are starting to get it, and they certainly don't want people to get it even more. So he ought to be on every financial news network right now. Right now, by any rights. He's the only one in Washington who even addresses these critical, central issues. Everyone else pretends it doesn't exist, that we're just going to keep going on doing the same thing, spending on war, welfare, and warfare without any limit whatsoever, and there will be no bills to pay and no consequences. But they're being proven wrong right now, and Ron Paul is being proven right. So, folks, it's time for action. It's time to get out from behind your computer screen and go out on the street and reach as many people as you can. This week in Los Angeles, we're beginning our door-to-door canvassing efforts, and you need to be doing the same. You need to go door-to-door in your neighborhoods, in your communities, and turn them on to Ron Paul, turn them on to the restoration of the Constitution, and wake them up to what's going on in this country, the violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism act, the Patriot Act, and all of it, stripping away our freedoms, stripping away our Constitution. People need to know so they can take action and get people like Jane Harman and Dave Reichert and all of these fools removed from office through legal democratic means, including impeachment, because frankly, those people ought to be impeached. They ought to be impeached. They won't impeach the president. They refuse to lift a finger. When he is destroying our country and our Constitution, then they themselves need to be impeached when they are in fact collaborating with the further destruction of the Constitution, of the rule of law in this country. So it is time to take action. We have a very small, limited window of opportunity here where we might just possibly have an impact enough to stave off a total dictatorship in this country. We might. Maybe. This is not a guarantee. But if everybody actually takes action, we could actually get Ron Paul nominated for the Republican nomination for president. We could actually get him elected. It could happen. We could do it. The only reason why we won't do it is because you're sitting on your ass doing nothing. Sorry, but that's the truth. Chances are pretty good that you're well-intentioned, you understand what's going on, and you're not doing jack. That's got to end. Sorry. I mean, I hate to be... I know plenty of you out there are listening to this, and you are. You are taking action. You're on top of it, and hey, thank God for you. Thank God for you. Really, really. You know? But for those of you who aren't, who signed up for a meetup group and just kind of get the emails, and maybe once in a while you vote in a text poll or something like that, send out a few emails here and there, and then you think you did your job. No, you didn't. Sorry. No, it takes a lot more. Needs commitment. Needs means you've got to get out on the street. Needs you've got to reach people, you know, physically with registration forms. Get them to sign up so that when we know where they are, where they live, and we can get them out to the polls on election day. That's what's going to happen. It's called canvassing, door-to-door, in your neighborhood. You want to go in your neighborhood, go in somebody else's neighborhood, okay? But get out there. That's what we got to do. So the next big thing is the, you know, we've had two All-America Walks in support of the Ron Paul Freedom Message, and now we will have the All-America Week of Action for Ron Paul. The All-America Action Week for Ron Paul. And it is a week in which we target, in your city, neighborhood, zone, you find an area that you think has a really good chance for turning out for Ron Paul. You identify a zone. You pick the zone, and then for a week, you are going to target that area. First, stage one, paint it Ron. Find the zone, paint it Ron. Signs, banners, all around that target zone. Completely Ron on the weekend of November 10th, November 11th. November 10th, November 11th, it starts. November 10th to the 17th, the All America Action Week for Ron Paul. Paint it Ron, step one. Then, make some waves. Sign waving every day of that week, if you can, Monday through Friday, at the busiest intersections in that targeted zone. Everywhere. Wave signs. And go to shopping centers, distribute flyers, distribute brochures, okay? Monday through Friday. Saturday, All America Walk. Walk through that zone, 100 people, get as many people together, and walk the zone in the public areas, on the public streets, in the byways. And show your Ron Paul. Get out there and show it. And then, when that walk ends, you break up into teams, four people. Each team goes out into a specific neighborhood with a map and a chart and clipboards, and you're going door to door, and you're knocking on those doors, and you're going to meet somebody, and they're going to say, "Wow, Ron Paul, man, this weekend, last weekend, I saw signs everywhere. I mean, unbelievable." I said to myself, "Who is this Ron Paul guy? I heard about something about him on the news, but God, look at these signs everywhere." And then I went out to the shopping center, and I saw you guys waving signs on the street corner over there. And then I came out of the shopping center, and somebody gave me a brochure. And then I just saw a whole bunch of people, like 100 people, walking down the street. And now here I am. I answer the door, and it's a Ron Paul person. What's going on with you guys? Give me that thing. What? Tell me about this guy. What's so great about Ron Paul that everybody is doing Ron Paul everywhere? I want to know. That's what's going to happen. Find a target, pick it, work it, and then get in there and harvest the fruits of your labor. Get that person registered Republican if need be in your state. Get their name, telephone number, email address, physical address, and a commitment to vote for Ron Paul. Or at least something like, "Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about voting for Ron Paul." Something like that. Get it. It goes in a database, and when the time comes, election day, whatever that date is in your state, you're going to call that person, you're going to visit that person, you're going to say, "The time is now. We need you. Down at the polls. Let's go. I'll give you a ride if I have to. Whatever it takes, let's get you down to the polls. Let's get you voting for Ron Paul right now." All America Action Week for Ron Paul, November 10th through the 17th, get on board. This is what we need to do. If we do it, everywhere, over and over and over again, a lot, you know, we'll win, basically. We'll win. There's nothing that could stop us. The only thing that's stopping us, is we sit around on our asses and do nothing, basically, is what it is. Is we sit around and we go, oh, this violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism act is just so terrible. Look how they're taking away our freedoms. Okay, well, I mean, you got to go beyond being upset. You got to go beyond being, appalled, writing emails. Got to take action. Got to get out there. So if you're even a tenth of as just through with these people as I am, then you have all you need to get out there and help us make it happen. If we all take action, we can win. Pretty much, boom, down, that's it. All right, if we do. If we don't, then we're not. We're going to lose. And like they say, a people gets the government that it deserves, ultimately. So if we deserve dictatorship, if we deserve unending war, if we deserve absolute destruction of national sovereignty, if we deserve absolute destruction of our economic vitality as a nation and eternal indebtedness to international bankers, if that's what we deserve, then that's what we're going to get. It's up to you to decide if that's what we deserve. I mean, it's all about your actions. It's all about what you do or don't do. So chew on that. And I hope that you'll decide to take some action. I hope that you'll decide that maybe we deserve better as a people than what the leaders of this country are giving us. So this is Stephen Vincent, live on bbsradio.com and now live at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. So, again, you'll be able to tune in to a live television news report with your host and your anchor, essentially, Stephen Vincent, hosting the latest news and breaking developments for you, reporting live every day, Monday through Friday. I hope that you'll join me. I hope you spread the word about this revolution in media, because the revolution is being televised right now, as of today. It's being televised. They said it wouldn't be, but they were wrong. It is being televised, being brought live to you by me, Stephen Vincent, on the Freedom Message Daily. So I hope that you'll tune in again on Monday, and you will actually be able to see the guests that I have from now on, assuming that they're able to access the internet with a video camera. You'll actually be able to see the guests with me interviewing live. So that will be the next sort of stage in the revolution. Maybe even as soon as Monday. There's a possibility I'll have a guest for you on Monday. But we'll see how that goes. Anyway, thanks again, RonPaulFreedomMessage.com. And if you want to keep in touch with everything that I'm doing and get updates, please join my meetup at RonPaul.meetup.com, RonPaul.meetup.com/496, RonPaul.meetup.com/496. Again, thanks so much, and I will speak with you on Monday. Have a wonderful, fabulous, free weekend. Enjoy your freedom. Use it or lose it. All right. Talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye.